faces.
That's so dumb.
Velger.
Oh, you idiot.
And Mass.
Holy crap.
Velger and Mass.
I hate that.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Hotel for Christmas in the City, .org fundraiser. And again, for more details and everything we've just gone over, ChristmasInTheCity.org, or we have all these details on our page as well, 98.5thesportshub.com. Click on the Christmas in the City page and it'll detail everything that we've just gone over. As promised, right back to your phones. Tony here in Tony at the Seaport thinks the Nathan Eovaldi contract's too big. Doesn't like the contract. Tony in Maine, what do you think of the Eovaldi thing?
I think it's ridiculous, and I'm with Maz on this. I watch you guys every day, and I listen to him take a lot of abuse from these so-called Red Sox fanboys, and I just thought that I would give him a call and tell him that he knows exactly what he's talking about. He knows more about baseball than what these fanboys do, and I think they should just cut him some slack. He knows what he's talking about.
Okay, that may be the best call from Maine we've ever gotten.
My father moved up there.
That's right. Good. Your personal enforcer up there.
Yeah. So what I would tell Tony is, look, it's part of the job. I mean, we all acknowledge that, and so don't worry about it. I'm fine. And the fact that they get agitated just means they care, and that's a good thing.
Let me ask you, if the Sox had not signed him to this contract and the Yankees had signed him 4 years, $17 million a year, what would most fans say?
Oh, they would say Yankees are stupid.
Oh, the Yankees are stupid. They overpaid them. Oh, just Steinbrenner's money and the Yankees. They'd be ripping the Yankees for signing this contract.
Yeah, Eovaldi's a flash in the pan, Maz. We all know it. You Yankees are dumb. They're still chasing their tails. Like, you're going to get something like that. And that's all I'm telling you is that I think the contract, if you were to take the name off it and just look at the player's performance on paper and say, what does this guy get on the market? 4 years and 70? You would say, that might be one of the stupidest contracts I've ever seen. So, now again, I'm happy for Eovaldi because a guy like him is the guy who should celebrate getting a big contract. Okay, he's had to fight through injuries, has had to grind for it, change teams. All of that came up big at the right time and got paid. Good for him. Absolutely good for him. But realistically, he was way over his skis here in terms of what he would get on the market otherwise. He got way overpaid, and good for him, but he got overpaid.
Okay, I still have a giveaway coming up for you here in a few minutes. Steve in Taunton on the Celtics first. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, guys, what's going on? Hey, I'd give anything to see Tony and Velga up there shaking their thing, doing introductions. That was beautiful, guys. Hey, I just want to say I called last week and when the Celtics were 10-10. They needed to have a little swagger, okay? I understand it's only three games. But the way Kyrie's talking, yes, they should be kicking people's butts. They need to have this swagger all the time, guys, okay? I mean, you know, the other guys, they're just talking, you know, Rozier, whatever. They just need to have this swagger. I like it. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Okay, Steve. Thanks for the call. I think they need less swagger.
Yeah, I think they need humility.
Right. I'm with you, Maz. There's been too much of it for having accomplished precious little.
I mean, that's the thing is look, they had a nice run last year. A lot of these guys overachieved. The Roziers of the world I'm talking about. And Rozier even said it in that story in The Athletic where he did the interview with Jay King. And he said, look, there's been a transition coming back from that. All of a sudden, now I have to go back to being a role player. And that's been hard. And I don't doubt that it's been hard after you get that kind of glory. But that's what he is. And on this team, he had to get himself ready for that. And the sooner they all accept the reality that they are better collectively than they are individually, the better off they'll be. It's not about them individually.
We've got Mike in New Hampshire on the Nathan Eovaldi contract. Mike, what'd you think of it?
I first want to say good job on the show today. It's wonderful. Watching on TV is a completely different effect. There's Christmas trees and all that stuff. It's a great show today. And the gentleman you just had on, God bless all the gods, bless him and his family for doing what they do. It's wonderful. And this show today actually sparked my question. I've only been on hold for 40 minutes. I think Christmas came early. I appreciate it. I want to know if you folks know anything about this. In these contracts, we all know that Eovaldi's not worth this money. Kershaw's not worth that money. But like with the Malcolm Subban contract where he donated a wing of the hospital, how much thought to local charity goes into these contracts? Can you speak on that?
So, I think they're all pretty charitable. I don't know. I can't speak to Nathan Eovaldi, but
Well, I think it specifically it varies from player to player. So if some players are really invested in a cause, they will say, I want something in my contract that says, you know, $250,000 of my salary year goes to this.
You can do that.
Absolutely. And I don't think, I mean, it might even be something you have to work out secondarily with the team. Maybe, I don't know what the union restrictions are and something like that and whether they would get in the way of it or not. At the end of the day, the player can always give on his own. Right. So I don't know that a lot of players actually have it written into their contracts, but certainly the team has its own causes. Players give their time. Like I don't know about Evaldi specifically, but it's, you know, a lot of these guys do stuff and don't get credit for it.
Yeah. And the teams, I think, have done a good job, like the Patriots. And I'm sure it's true with the other teams as well, but I know for a fact the Patriots, like, it's mandatory. You've got, there's a couple Tuesday, or there's a set number where you got to get your ass out on a Tuesday and get in the community. And so the teams require it of these guys.
No question.
Which is another good thing. Steve and Bill Ricker, what do you got, Steve, for Maz?
Hey, you know, Maz.
I don't even know if you're calling for Maz. It doesn't say for Maz. I'm just going to give you to Maz.
No, no, go ahead. For Maz only Maz.
it is only Maz. Maz, if the Red Sox passed on Evaldi because they listened to you in the 3 years, you know what? I would actually, even though I'm in a wheelchair, I would walk up and shake your hand. You know why? Because I'd probably pull it back and give you a spinning back fist. It's all about October. I would. Then I'd follow up with a kick to the zipper. Because it's all about October. Look at that guy from Milwaukee, Hayter. When you can get out past the seventh inning in October, what he did in the playoffs was probably the only player that's definitely the most important.
You understand. You know who used to say it's all about October 4 as well? Pablo Sandoval?
Right.
Was he 2 World Series MVPs or whatever it was? He was an amazing, you know, postseason performer. I want to say, how did that work out? But, you know, generally speaking, in baseball, you're paid for the 162, and the playoffs aren't even really considered. Like, there's guys who have, like, Manny Machado is going to be the latest. No one's going to be. Manny Machado was hot ass in the postseason. Just a disgrace, frankly. Machado was a disgrace in the postseason. From the way he played to the way he carried himself, he's going to get the richest contract in the history of baseball because usually the way it works is they discount the postseason. A-Rod, his postseason's never held against him. Machado won't be held against him. So generally you get paid for the 162, not the playoffs. With Evaldi, this is sort of the opposite.
Yeah, and look, I think you can do it in a lot of other sports. You can do it in hockey and basketball because half the teams make the playoffs. And so, you know, really, and particularly in hockey, the seed doesn't matter. So, you know, you can really say to a guy, no, no, he's got real value in the postseason and we'll be in there because, you know, we don't have to be that good during the regular season. Baseball doesn't work that way. I mean, it's a long haul, so there's got to be some emphasis on the regular season. And my concern with Evaldi, Steve, is not his ability. He clearly has the stuff to excel in October. The question is whether or not he's ever going to have it again. This guy's got a history of breaking down. He's only pitched 850 innings in his career. He's going to be 29 when the season starts. He's had 2 elbow surgeries. So I love what he did, too. I'm happy that he's back. But the contract, oh, my gosh, did he fleece the Red Sox.
Tugger and Maz, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, I said there was something Patriots-related that crawled up Big Jim Murray's backside. It happens to be 2 things now.
Yeah, the second thing just popped up in the last few minutes.
So
take much with you, Murray.
So something new is crawling around up Murray's tuchus. But why don't we start with the first thing? What's the first thing you saw in the Patriots that bothered you?
Well, you know, it's been kind of quiet the last couple of days, so I'll always read anything NFL-related, you know, especially during the dead period. So I saw this article on CBS Sports yesterday, cbssports.com. These 7 players, the most likely candidates to get the franchise tags in 2019, an unnamed agent's take. I was like, okay. And some of the names make sense, like the Cowboys' DeMarcus Lawrence, who's been a stud, the defensive lineman there, Jadeveon Clowney of the Houston Texans, Dee Ford, the outside linebacker for the Kansas City Chiefs, Landon Collins, the great safety for the Giants. Like, all this makes sense.
Impact guys.
And real impact players, guys that really make a difference.
Oh, yeah, forces.
And then I scroll a little bit more, and who do I see? The stupid kicker.
What stupid kicker? Can you be more specific?
Our stupid kicker, Stephen Gostkowski. Again, they're going to try to franchise this guy. Again, this is one agent's take, but it says Gostkowski, as we know, third most accurate kicker in NFL history, blah, 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 blah. Perfect on his 37 extra point attempts this season. Yay, that should be celebrated.
Till the playoffs.
The four-year, $17.2 million deal Gostkowski signed in 2015 as a franchise player still sets the kicker market. He could have set his sights on becoming the league's first $5 million a year kicker. it will cost close to $6 million for the Patriots to franchise him under the 120% of the prior year salary rules. If they do this, they're idiots. Has he been elite this year? Do you still?
I don't think he's been elite for a couple, frankly.
Same. And he's 34, 35?
Why are you spending $6 million on a kicker?
$6 bucks?
I don't care if it's freaking the second coming.
I'm sensing the theme of the show today, which is stupid contracts.
$6 million for any kicker. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Adam Vinatieri, maybe Gostkowski at the height of the height of the height in his prime. If the cap is what it is now at 130, maybe, or Tucker on his best day or Vinatieri on his best day, but no, $6 bucks for a kicker?
There's three guys who immediately come to mind that are their contracts are expiring that should get the franchise tag over this guy. I mean, he should be bottom of the barrel anyway because of his age and because he's been pedestrian the last couple of years. But obviously Trey Flowers, who I've basically already resigned myself to the fact they're going to not end up giving him a monster deal, but you could tag him. Trent Brown, who has had a pretty solid year and was definitely an upgrade over Nate Solder, considering how he's played for the Giants. And then maybe you could even make an argument for Chris Hogan. But those guys should get it well over Gostkowski again.
I'm with you on everyone till Hogan.
Yeah, no Hogan. I'm sorry, who? I missed the second one you said?
Trent Brown.
Trent Brown's an interesting
left tackle. It's a good one. It's a big position.
Okay. Trey Flowers, what do you think? Technically a defensive end?
Yeah.
$17.3 million next year.
They won't do it.
Well, they won't, but
17.3.
He's pretty good.
He's really good.
I mean, he's pretty good. So look, would I do it if I were them?
Yeah.
Will they? No.
Left tackle, offensive line, so it's all lumped into one. Offensive line franchise number projected at 14.2.
They won't do it. They won't do that number.
But I'd rather them.
What did Solder want?
I'd rather them tag.
I can't remember.
I'd rather them tag Brown for one more year than giving him a long-term contract because of his history of laziness and being out of shape when he was with the 49ers when he came into the league.
To me, Brown is, well, either way, Trey Flowers is a better player and a bigger impact guy. I mean, that's the guy.
Yeah.
Why is everyone resigned that he's gone? Isn't that annoying?
That's just kind of how they do business.
I mean, why should it be an automatic that he's gone?
It shouldn't be, but again, wouldn't he have signed by now if he was going to stay?
He's been your best player.
No, they can, again, they can franchise him, so they have some say in that. But
well, there's precedent with Chandler Jones, you know? Like, he's going to get that kind of money because he is that kind of an impact player up front, I think. I mean, the numbers aren't as eye-popping as Chandler Jones, and they weren't going to pay him.
Who was it that they signed right before the season started? There was someone that they signed right before the season started who was up.
On defense?
I think so.
You sure it was this year?
Yes.
What are you talking about, though?
And I thought, why aren't they signing Flowers? Why are they signing this person instead of Flowers? I wish I could remember who it was.
Not Claiborne?
No, because he was the free agent.
No. It was one of their own guys who was eligible. I'll find it. But in any case, I remember thinking, why isn't more being made of the fact that Flowers has gone unsigned? Flowers should be signed. The fact that he's not is should be alarming to you.
Okay, there's the first thing that annoyed Murray today on the Patriots. What's the second thing?
The second injury report of the week has been released, Mike and Tony. And, hey, wouldn't you know, just like magic, someone waved a wand again, just like they did last week. And Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, who were on it yesterday, magically disappeared. So is it another typo or a lie like last week, or are they magically healed, nudge?
Jimmy Stewart, do you have Bill Belichick from yesterday who really, I think, enunciated and really spelled out exactly what was going on with Gronkowski in the injury report? I mean, he couldn't have said it more clearly.
Was he?
It was on the injury report last week.
I don't think there's anyone on the injury report last week.
You think we're making it up? You think we're embellishing what Belichick said yesterday? No, this was Belichick yesterday and Gronkowski in the injury report.
I don't think there's anyone on the injury report last week.
Coach mumbles. Yeah. I don't think there's anyone on the injury report last week.
the worst player in the game of telephone history ever.
What'd you say, Bill?
There's anyone on the injury report last week.
Oh, yeah, play it again, please. Play it one more time.
I don't think there's anyone on the injury report last week.
Which is, you know why he mumbled like that? Because he knew he was lying. He said, if I'm saying this, it won't be able to understand me.
Huh?
Coach mumbles. Oh, Jesus.
Why are they doing this, though? Okay. Especially with Gronk. You know he's not healthy.
Okay. Is it following the same pattern, though? That for some reason.
There's been an injury report last week.
Like, should we slow it down? No,
you just came. Last week.
Actually, you can kind of make it out when it's that slowed down.
Yeah, no, he almost
he just come back from a liquid lunch.
So there's been an injury report last week.
I was just out with the fellows.
There's been an injury report last week.
So, could it be that on Wednesday they do something where they can participate, but then on Thursday they go a walkthrough so they're not on there, and then on Friday they do a little bit a piece of work that they don't want Gronk doing, so they have to put him back on, and it's based on his availability that day of practice? I mean, I'm
sure it could be.
I mean, at this point, you got to wonder if it's something like that, because they can't be dinking around this badly.
Although, I'll tell you what, after seeing Gronk on the field on Sunday,
he ain't right.
No, he's not. He's not. He's not right. There's no question about it.
So, right, no matter what game they're playing, it's impossible to believe that he should be off the injury report on any day.
Exactly right. And I do. I'm sorry. The mumbling aside, I find it comical that Bill Belichick would say in a press conference, I don't think he was on the injury report last week, was he? When he was actually on the injury report. Bill, did you miss that? Did you miss that?
There's been on the injury report last week.
No, only Friday counts because that's the most important injury report.
Huh?
That is an all-timer. Seriously.
Okay, here comes Murray's update.
A couple of Johnny Walkers at lunch and then did the media session.
Murray's update.
There's an injury report last week.
On Eovaldi, we're not doctoring that. That's what he said yesterday. On Eovaldi, on these Patriots things, that anything. Your calls, we hit on Celtics, Red Sox, and Patriots. Your calls on whatever you want. I promise, one open line, 617-779-0985. Right to you after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Vikings 3-for-9 on third down, going right to left with Cousins in the gun. Murray to his left. Abdullah in the lineup, slot right for the Vikings. Diggs to the left. Shotgun snap to Cousins. Pressured up the middle. Chased by Flowers and taken down by Flowers. Trey Flowers celebrates a sack a couple of days after he celebrated the birth of his daughter.
The most exciting thing that has happened today is to see how this defense has played through three quarters. They got to continue it for another 14 minutes.
Trey Flowers, that's the guy that should be franchised. Instead, they're talking about franchising the kicker. And I say they, not the team necessarily, although who knows? They've done it. They franchised Adam a couple times.
Yeah. And they did it with Gostkowski already. He's the last guy to get franchised by them.
Oh, they franchised Gostkowski, too?
In 2015.
Oy vey. Would you please? Trey Flowers is the guy they should be looking at, not the freaking kicker.
$6 million for a kicker.
Would you, who can't consistently hit extra points in big games?
I mean, so...
Every final game they've played, every championship game they've played, he's missed an extra point or... Was it an extra point last year?
And a field goal.
Yeah. And the field goal was a bungled snap.
Yes, correct.
But it was a bunny. It was a little kick. You still could have recovered. You go back to the Atlanta game, he missed an extra point. The Denver AFC Championship game, he missed an extra point. He misses every big game at the end, he misses an extra point.
Yep.
You're going to franchise the guy and let the guy like Lee Flowers go? Come on.
No. To me, they got to keep Flowers. But you know what? It's, you know, I mean, the franchise tag in a kicker is a third or almost a third of what it is for a defensive lineman like Flowers or a pass rusher like Flowers.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts on this and everything else. Brody in Maine has been waiting patiently with the Patriots take. Go ahead, Brody.
Yeah, so I hear you guys have Bedard on Tuesday, and he's talking about how they're switching it up on defense because the Patriots have all these smart players now, you know, and they feel like the defense needs to make up for what the offense lacks. Can I ask you guys a question? Are the players that much different on this year's defense than last year's defense?
No, it's a good point. Not really, but
okay,
they're a year older and more adverse in the system.
Okay, but like, if it's smart people like Hightower and Devin McCourty and Daron Harmon and these people that are smart, and Lawrence Guy, who's a veteran, why weren't they doing this last year in the Super Bowl and trying to get more pressure on Nick Foles?
Brody, it's a great point. Did you ever think that maybe the players are smart, but Matt Patricia was stupid?
Could be.
Maybe.
Do you ever think of that?
Could be. But again, I draw the line to Bill. I mean, so if Patricia's stupid, then why couldn't Bill tell him do it this way? And I don't know, maybe it's just that Patricia was unwilling to go to Bill with something radical or, you know, relatively aggressive because he knew that Bill wouldn't accept it, whereas Flores is more apt to do that. Maybe it's a different personality with Flores. Bill, let's try this. And Bill is willing to let him do it or let him try it. You know, to me, there's a couple different guys. Jason McCourty's new. And maybe they've also figured out finally how to do it with Gilmore. Okay? You play man or... In Gilmore's case, where there are certain schemes that he does get when it comes to zones and, you know, confusing the quarterback, etc. There was one of those plays over the weekend where I think they had a combination of like eight or nine, I want to say nine linebackers and defensive backs on the field. Two linemen. Two.
Awesome.
It might have been even just one with Flowers on one play.
Old school stuff.
Oh, my gosh, it was awesome. I love seeing that.
Andy in Scituate on the Pats. Go ahead, Andy.
Yeah, I've been in a great mood all week until I heard that they're going to franchise tag Steven Gostkowski. Let's just run through a timeline here, okay? In 2015 against the Broncos, if he made that extra point, it would have given the Pats a better chance to maybe go to the Super Bowl. Maybe they could have beat the Panthers.
Well, hold on. Was 15 the year they had to go for two at the end?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so
yeah.
The reason they were going for two is because Dingleberry there missed the extra point.
Exactly. Then let's go to the Falcons game, okay? Tom Brady bails his ass out and gets two-point conversions. I'm telling you right now, if they didn't get that last two-point conversion, Gostkowski would have been cut. And then last year, yeah, Adam Vinatieri could have kicked that left-footed in high off acid with that missed field goal. That was still his fault. And he missed an extra point. Okay, I mean, God forbid they overpay for a pass rusher for once in their life. It only cost me two rent checks to go to a freaking game. Franchise tag Flowers, get rid of Gostkowski, go to Spain and get some kid who plays soccer. That's it.
Andy, wonderful phone call.
Excellent. Tremendous delivery on top of it. Yeah. It doesn't even have to be Spain. I mean, I could give you a number of places.
Guatemala.
Portugal.
I don't care.
Yeah. South America, Caribbean. Yeah. I mean, lots of soccer-playing countries.
I don't care.
I'd consider even Asia.
Minnesota. I could give two poops. Find your kicker somewhere and save on your kicker.
$6 million for a kicker.
Again, that caller was taking this as gospel. This is according to former NFL agent Joel Corey.
No. Let's blast the Patriots for something they're not even thinking of doing.
No, I mean, just put it in the processor. Put it in the Felger Maz processor. We have a topic.
Mike and Everett on the Celts. Yes, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I just want to know what you think Rozier's trade value is really at this point. And I'm not too happy. I mean, Haywood's injury, God bless him and all that stuff. But what do you think the Celtics would get for Rozier?
Let me just stop you. So what should they get? So let me take a stab at it. A top 10 protected first round pick.
Yeah, something up that high. You could get that for
okay,
him.
So.
I mean, he was picked at like 15 and he's better than that.
They wouldn't get a first round pick. You know, like, I wouldn't give you a high lottery pick for Terry Rozier or the potential of a high lottery pick if I were a team in the bottom seven of the standings or had a, you know, that kind of pick, seven. No way. If you were in the 10 range, is it worth Terry Rozier? I don't know. So I just, my guess, top 10 protected first round pick.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, somewhere in that area.
So take it if you're the Celtics, if that's what you get.
You should get a pick that's in the upper half of the first round.
Wherever he was or a little higher.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that 10 to 15 window is a good place.
He was the 15th pick.
Something like that. Yeah, something like that. He's turned out better than that, right? Like, he's a good player. He's not a great player, but he's a good player. I would even say, like, top eight. If you get, like, and I'm nitpicking now, for crying out loud.
He was the 16th pick in 2015.
Okay, but he's a better player than someone typically taken in the middle of the first round. So, you know, if you could get a... As you said, in that area, that's right.
Okay, the big one is his contract. You know, you've got to sign him, you got to trade for him, and then probably sign him or else the trade isn't worth it. That's a big component there as well. Mike's been holding patiently with the Bruins take. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I know you basically covered it yesterday with the Bruins getting waxed Tuesday night in Florida, and I know you talked about the next couple games, but in my opinion, if they don't get any points these next two games, they're going to be fighting for a wild card the rest of the season. And I don't think that's going to be easy with the Met division there. And also, lastly, just quick for Felger. I don't know what's going on in Chicago. I'm a big Taze fan, too, and I think he's playing well this year. But, I just love watching that team in the playoffs, you know, in the West. So I just want to hear your thoughts. Thanks, guys.
Jonathan Taves. There's only one problem with Jonathan Taves, and it rhymes with $10.5 million. I think it's a salary. He makes $10.5 a year. I think he's the second highest paid player in the – I think he and Kane both signed for 10.5, and then what Connor McDavid got blew him out of the water. But I think they had the highest salary. I love Jonathan Taves. I don't know what's happened to Chicago. I just haven't really taken the time to even invest in reading up on what it was. Never mind watching it. You know, if Kane and Taves were still those guys, how do they fall out of the playoffs going on 2-3 straight years now? Like, it's baffling. I don't know.
I mean, it feels to me like the big hit there has been on defense.
So,
I mean, those two guys have aged.
Yeah, Keith and Seabrook and those guys. If Taves is anywhere near the player that he was, I love that guy. He's my favorite player in the league. He's Patrice Bergeron, but better, you know? But if his game's falling off, no. Oh, but overall in the Bruins, look out below. That's what I'm worried about. At Tampa tonight, home Toronto.
Scary.
And
tonight feels like a bloodbath.
Their last two, they can't get out of their own way. And it's against bad teams, Detroit and Florida. If they're going to look like that against Detroit and Florida, what happens against Tampa and then Toronto? Like, look out below.
I mean, the flip side is, if you could ever get out of there with a win tonight, what a huge win.
Point. Give me a point. I'll be happy. We've got Chris in Lawrence with a Celtics thought. Hi, Chris.
Hey. Last week, you were talking about the Celtics' retired numbers and saying it was a joke. And you were saying the players weren't that good. If you get rid of, like, Dennis Johnson, you know, there's a few other, like, Frank Ramsey, Lacey, or whatever. But you look at, like, Bill Sherman. That guy was, like, a great basketball player. Like, all the people on that list, minus, like, Dennis Johnson and everything, like, the few mediocre guys, like, those are great basketball players that are, like...
Frank Ramsey, definitely. Yeah, the sixth man was great. Let's retire the jersey of the sixth man. Let me just think about it. I mean, not only is he not one of the greatest Celtics of all time, he wasn't even a top five player on his own team. But let's retire the number. This may feel strong, but you people are stupid. Like, that's dumb. Let's retire the number of a guy who is so meaningless that when another borderline guy comes up with the same number, let's put him on the banner with just his name. No, but not even that. The abbreviation of his name.
Nickname.
Losky. Because Lord knows Dave Cowens in his 5 good years had to have number 18 up there, but turns out, as with everything with the Celtics, the number's already been retired. No, the Celtics thing is beyond stupid. There should be six at most.
Well, yeah, that is one of the great dilutions of all time, what the Celtics have done to their numbers.
Brother.
Way too many up there.
Okay, more to go.
Way too many.
Again, Felger Mavs from the Christmas in the City fundraiser. More details on that coming up. We're going to go to 7 o'clock tonight as well. So bonus Felger and Mavs time for you. We'll get right back to it in our long commercial-free segment next.
This is Felger and Mavs
on 98.5
The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hotel here for the Christmas in the City fundraiser. They do this every year in advance of their big party they throw for homeless kids, shelter kids, kids in need. This year's is going to be a week from Sunday here in Boston, and this is where they raise most of their money and their toys. So if you can at all contribute, we would appreciate it. We are again at the Seaport Hotel. The fundraiser starts at 6 o'clock. It's open to the public. Tickets are $30 for adults, $10 for kids. All that goes to Christmas in the City. Every dime, it's a purely 100% volunteer organization, so there's no administrative costs or anything like that. It goes straight to the party and the gifts for the kids. So you can come and join the event, or you can just come by before. We're here now, and there's people here collecting toys and monetary donations up until the thing starts at 6 o'clock. So if you want to come in the next hour and donate a toy or some money, by all means, do it. The Christmas, we're at the Seaport Hotel on the first floor of the hotel. If you stay for the event, there's some great raffle items. And great live auction items. The live auction items include, again, 4 tickets for the Celtics against the Grizzlies, second row from the floor, which is where Stewart usually sits, right there. We call it Stewart Town. Like the Henrytown seats at Fenway, that's Stewart Town.
Stewville.
That's where you'll find, Stew, the second row from the floor. 4 tickets to Celtics versus Grizzlies. That's on the 18th of January. Plus, you'll get a $150 gift card to Il Molo restaurant. So great Celtics tickets there. They're auctioning off 2 tickets for the Red Sox on opening day, which is when they'll raise the banner. Great, great day to be at the ballpark. That includes a $200 gifty to Tony C, so you get lunch before the game. 2 tickets to the divisional round game for the Patriots, including a $100 gift card to Davio's. That's going to be an auction item. Fleetwood Mac tickets to the Garden, April 2nd. Nutcracker seats. You get to pick the date between now and New Year's Eve. Again, Maz, special guest.
Cordell Patterson
will be attending the Nutcracker there with you as well.
Fistful enough.
Okay. So those are some of the live auction items. There's raffle items as well, like free massages, free stays here at the Seaport Hotel, free gift cards to Tony C's Bar and Grill, free gift cards to Davio's, things like that. So there's raffle items there, and that's how you can contribute to Christmas in the City.
Murray, are you going to bid on one of those massages?
No, I have my massage guy.
Yeah, Murray's a big massage guy.
Yeah, I know.
Once a month. Got to treat yourself.
Okay, so that's how you can come contribute. Christmas in the City, again, I just feel like resetting in case you don't know, in case you haven't heard me talk about it. We have for the last several years. This is our third year with the charity, so you've heard me talk about it probably before, but if you haven't, Christmas in the City, simply put, Mass. You want to give it a crack before I babble on here?
Sure. Well, what I would say is generally Christmas in the City is an organization that gives Christmas to kids who otherwise wouldn't have it. These are homeless kids, shelter kids, foster kids, kids who are underprivileged, families that are underprivileged, and affords them to the opportunity to have that day just like any other kid would have.
And what Jake Kennedy and his wife Sparky do is they throw an incredible party, usually at a convention space in Boston. It's his 29th year doing it, by the way, 29 years. And he was on last hour. It started because he thought his kids were getting too many gifts and were getting gluttonous about it or needy about it. He said, you know what? We don't need these many gifts, and we'll start giving to kids who do. And he started off with 165 kids, and now he's up to 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 kids on a weekend. So anyway, what they do is they round up kids at, as Matt said, shelter homes, foster families. This year they're going up to the Merrimack Valley with all those families that have been displaced by the gas explosions up there. So there's going to be hundreds of more kids here than usual. So that's another reason why they really need your help and your donations. But they round these kids up and they bring them into Boston for a Sunday before Christmas and just throw a party like you wouldn't believe, with not just Santas and decorations and everything, but a full indoor amusement park. Meals for the mothers and the families, even, you know, I mean, everyone donates. The Blue Man Group performs. There's bands that come and perform. Peony hairdresser to the stars comes in and will give hairdos to some of the mothers and give haircuts, which, again, for someone who has a spouse who pays for haircuts from Peenies, that is do not look that gift horse in the mouth. That is a special thing for a great value, okay? If you're getting a free haircut from Peeny, that's a good deal because he's the best in Boston. So they do that. So they throw this incredible party. But the best thing they do, the absolute best thing that they do, is they go around again to these foster homes and these shelters, and they ask the kids what they want for Christmas. They ask for their Christmas list. And this sounds rudimentary to you and me, but there are kids, thousands of kids, tens of thousands of kids, millions of kids in this country who don't have that experience, who don't know what it's like to fill out a Christmas list, ask for a toy, and then have it underneath the tree on Christmas morning. Like, they don't even know, they don't even conceive of that. And so Jake tries to provide that for them. They go around to all these kids, hundreds of kids, and get their Christmas list. And then on the day of the party, they bring you a gift, a bag full of gifts with things that were listed on your list, or they try as best they can. And that's a really special thing right there.
Amazing. I mean, really. He told a story a little while ago about how when they first started this, he went to visit one family, and they were living in a motel. Five kids, one mother, making dinner for kids on a hot plate. Like, to give you some sort of context, for those of us who, you know, were fortunate enough to grow up in a house with a roof and your own bedroom and that sort of stuff. Like, that'll put it into context for you. These are the kinds of kids who benefit from this event.
Okay, so we need your help. They need your help. You can come by and donate money or toys, all right? You can donate toys. They have toy drops all over the city. For more details, ChristmasInTheCity.org or the 98.5 The Sports Hub website. You can donate toys or money to Tony and I Saturday at the Newbury Comics at the Natick Mall, 2:30 to 4:30. Third year in a row doing that. Come by. We always raise a good amount of money and a boatload of toys in that thing. You can do that. Or you can just go to ChristmasInTheCity.org and make a donation right there. For more details, again, go to that website, ChristmasInTheCity.org or 98.5 The Sports Hub. That's why we're here, Christmas in the City. So there's that. We will get back to your phones and reset Maz's thoughts on the Nathan Eovaldi tract. Boston, how do you think Tony Maz feels about the Nathan Eovaldi contract? So wait, just hold your answer, Maz. What do you out there think? What do you think? Do you think Tony likes it or not? We'll get the answer right after Murray's update. 90 seconds, no commercials.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.